right, grab your Bibles, iPhone, iPad, notepad, whatever. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and I'm going to read these first 8 verses. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter. Because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. Look at your neighbor and say, the pastor's going to talk about sex today. Sex and the city. Look at your neighbor and say, he about to talk about you. All right, you can be seated. Yeah, I don't normally do all this talking after I give my message title. Same thing happened at 8 o'clock. There was a murmuring. There was this little mumbling that was going on. Yeah, I want to talk about Sex and the City. Some years ago, matter of fact, between 1998 and 2004, I believe, there was a HBO series called Sex and the City. How many of y'all saw it? Oh, your hand up high. Let me see who all the heathens are up in here. I never seen the program, never seen it once. Never seen a snippet of it, don't even know anything about it, other than there was a lot of discussion and dialogue about it, Sex and the City. And I thought I would talk about this morning because the reality of the fact is that sex is an issue in our community. If y'all all, let me just preface this by saying, if y'all all say amen together throughout the course of the whole message, nobody will know that I'm talking about you. All right, now, amen. Somebody just texted me and said it's called Sex in the City. I want you to go to the website, look it up, and you find out that it is Sex and the City. That's for that person who texted me. I won't call her by name. It is Sex and the City. We need to talk about sex because it is the one thing that is tearing Christians apart, pulling us down, defeating us, frustrating us, and causing us not to reach our, basically the essence of what God has for our future. And I thought I ought to spend some time talking about it because I spend a lot of my time counseling people about sex. Inevitably, in every issue, somewhere along the line, most of my conversations, somebody's got sex somewhere in the issue in the picture. So I spend a lot of time trying to keep single people from having sex. Sex among singles is alive and well. It's thriving. It's flaming. It's active. If y'all all say amen together, nobody knows. It is alive. And sex is alive and well in the married community. Just not with the spouse that they're married to. Did y'all hear that? Not with their spouses. Outside of their marriage. Paul the Apostle writes to the church in Thessalonica. It's a church he founded. He started the church. And he's writing them after he has departed. And it's a young church. And he recognizes the need to talk to them about sexual purity. And so he's writing this letter, his first epistle to them, and amongst the things he needs to talk about is this thing called sex. And I want to press and challenge and talk to us about it. I know it's challenging. I know the hormones are raging. I know that the passions are alive and well. But here's the thing that all of us have to be absolutely clear about. God has something to say about sex. As a matter of fact, he gives very clear instructions about it. Hold on. Let me read this right here, verse 8, before I go any further. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject Pastor Jenkins, but God. Let me just throw that out there because some of y'all calling me old fogey and pushing me to the side, and that's his generation. That's why I wanted to read verse 8 to you so that you recognize this is not my message. It's not my instruction. This is an instruction from God. So let's set the record straight. Let's do a little Bible study today. I bring Bible study to you since you don't come to Bible study. Let's look at a few verses real quickly. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Listen, let me give you the verse. You jot them down. I'm not going to have time to wait for you to catch up and all that. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3. Listen to what it says. I want to look at, just for a prerequisite, I want to look at a couple of verses just so that we get clarity about what God says about sex. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3 says, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints." Y'all see that? I like the way the King James says. The King James says, don't let it be named once among you. Don't let it be mentioned one time that this has been your behavior. Oh, yes, the Bible is crystal clear about this. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And I want to read verse number 11. Here's what it says. 1 Corinthians 5:11 says this. "But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral or covetous or an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or an extortioner." Sounds like all your friends. "Not even to eat with such a person." Here's what the scriptures say. If you know somebody is participating in sexual immorality, don't even eat a meal with them. Wow. Some of y'all gonna lose y'all's friends. Now, I didn't write this. This is what the scripture says. Don't associate. Don't hang out with them. Don't keep company with them. I didn't write it. It was here when I got here. Look at chapter 6. It's just one, the very next chapter, verse 13. Let me read verse 13 through 19. Just follow with me for a second. "Food for the stomach and the stomach for food, but God will destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him." Flee, verse 18. Flee sexual immorality. "Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Do you not know," verse 19, "that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought at a price." Verse 20, "Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Tell your neighbor, your body don't belong to you, it belongs to God. Tell them on the other side, it's not your body. Your body is not yours. It belongs to God. While you're here, go ahead down to chapter 7, verse 1 and 2, right here. "Now concerning the things of which you wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband." If you can't keep yourself under control, get married. If y'all all say amen together, nobody will know I'm talking about you. There is a blatantness, there's a disregard for scripture amongst people who attend church, who say they believe in God, believe in Jesus, believe in the Bible, but we're disregarding it because I found and am finding that the rampantness of sexual immorality, both fornication and adultery, is all over the place. Yes, all over the place. I wish it wasn't true. I wish I could tell you it wasn't true, but it's rampant. It's alive and well. Somebody on your row is guilty of one of those things. Yeah, look straight ahead. Don't look to the left or the right. Just look straight ahead. Somebody in your section, you have multiple people in your section who is, it's a lifestyle. It has become a lifestyle. I think it's one thing for a person to trip up and fall and make a mistake. It's another thing to make your bed and put a couch there and put a hanger address, have mail delivered to it and live in it like it's okay. We've accepted it because the culture pushes this sex thing down our throats, and they make it feel like just because the movie stars are doing it and the athletes are doing it and everybody else is doing it, they've set and established a culture that has become acceptable in our culture, and now people are bold and proud and bragging. Used to be a time if people were participating in fornication, they would hide it. Y'all wouldn't know nothing about this. It's the 8 o'clock crowd, the older people. They would hide that stuff. But not now. Not now. People don't care. They're bold. They're open about it. You know, back in the day when if you were shacking with somebody, you didn't leave the house at the same time. You just, you're one person leave out, another person leave out 10 minutes later. It wasn't no... It was it, but not now. Oh no, it's known. They vacation together, they travel together, they sleep together, both their names is on the checking account. And there's a level of arrogancy and sin that I'm trying to call out today. I'm trying to call it out to let you know that you won't be able to stand before God and say, Pastor never told you, Pastor Jenkins didn't tell you that it's wrong. If y'all all clap together, nobody will know I'm talking about you. And that's the reality, that the scripture is crystal clear. I went through those series of verses just a few moments ago so that you can clearly see that the scriptures speak to this matter. And one day everybody's going to have to stand before a holy God and give an answer for the behavior that they've done in regard to controlling their flesh. Now, 1 Corinthians 7 is clear. If you can't control yourself, if you can't be under control, get married. Find your wife, find your husband. Get connected with somebody. That's an acceptable reason to get married. I don't want to go to hell. Come on, look at your neighbor. Say, I ain't trying to go to hell for a little bit of pleasure, momentary thrill. Amen. And people are just, it's amazing to me that, you know, you can sleep with somebody today and it could cost you your life. I discovered that I know that the fear of sexually transmitted diseases has never stopped a person in the heat of passion. That's why disease is still being spread, people still getting pregnant. You pop up, you know, TV shows built on, and you are the father. All right, let me go on to the scriptures here. First Thessalonians, he talks to them, and let me just lay out to you what he talks about. He gives us clarity about this thing, giving us the will of the Lord. He says, let me read through this again. Finally, my brother, in verse 1, we urge and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God. Verse 1. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. We've given you specific instructions, Paul says to the church in Thessalonica. For you know what commandments we gave you. Verse 3, for this is the will of God, your sanctification. Somebody holler at me and say sanctification. That's a word that nobody wants to talk about today, but sanctification means purity. That you set yourself aside to live pure before God. That you are dedicating yourself, not that you're perfect, because ain't nobody in here perfect. Everybody in here has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But sanctification means I'm making an effort to give myself to God so He can use me for His glory. I'm trying to do right. It means a level of purity. He says, this is the will of God, even your sanctification. And then he says, here's the thing that's going to trip you up in your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. That you should abstain from loose living. That you should abstain from feeding your selfish, fleshly, sexual drives and desires. Because the reality is, 99% of the people in this room, 99% of the people watching over the internet, 99% of the people listening to the radio broadcast, watching the television broadcast, watching the DVD, the CD, 99% of you got sexual drives. If you don't have sexual drives, it means you're probably old fart is probably what it means. I'm sorry. And the question is, how are you managing your drives? What are you doing about those passions? Are you letting them run rampant? Or are they brought under the control of the Holy Spirit? Paul says, I want you to learn how to do this. And he says in verse 3 and 4, and here's my first point. I got three simple points. My first point is that you have to know how to control your stuff. Amen. Write that down. Learn how to control your stuff. Be aware how to handle your equipment. And that's what it says in verse 4, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel. Y'all, there it is, right? Verse 4, right there. Put that up on the screen. Put that up on the iMag. That each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. That you know how to present your bodies and possess and control your stuff. Keep your penis in your pants and your breasts in your bra is what the Bible says. Don't write me no letters. Don't email me. Your kids are watching stuff on TV saying worse than what I just said. Your vessel in sanctification and honor, in purity, and the word honor means in value. Put some value on yourself. Young lady, put some value to yourself. You ain't a whore. You're not a dog. You're not a tramp. You're not a prostitute. Take the sign down. Carry yourself like the respectable, beautiful woman that God created you to be. Know how to possess and control your stuff. Amen. Know how to control your stuff. Number two, I'm going to go ahead and hit these things. There's tension in the room. I feel tension. Normally people be jumping up, shouting, running around, bringing money down, throwing it on the thing. Ain't none of that happening today. It's all right. I ain't mad at you. Because it's tension in the room. It's tension, but it's okay. I'm trying to free you up. I'm trying to help you get to a place where you don't have to tighten up when the pastor talk about something. God sees you. I'm an instrument of God. I'm talking to you. I'm preaching and declaring to you that He sees you and He's not happy about what you're doing. And He's trying to straighten you up. He's trying to straighten you out. He's trying to get you out of the fornication. Get you out of the adultery. Get you out of pornography. Get you out of whatever it is you're doing that's not pleasing Him. Get you out of masturbating. Leave yourself alone. Leave yourself alone. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, leave yourself alone. Mm. tight in here. Here's number two. I got to roll on. Did I give y'all number one? What did I say? Control your stuff. Control your equipment. Number two. Verse, let me tell you, the verse five. Let me read verse five. It says, not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God. I'm calling that, don't allow your flesh to control your decisions. Don't let your flesh. See, some of us are driven by our flesh. And we're letting the flesh call the shots. Don't let your flesh. And it says right here in verse 5, don't live your life in the passion of lust. Now, if you have a King James version, it uses the word concupiscence. The New King James translates it passion of lust. And here's what it means. It means your longing for sexual desire is stronger than your spiritual desires. Your excitement for sexual activity is stronger and more powerful than your desire for the things of God. And he says, don't allow your flesh to control. And I started to say a few moments ago, I got off track, and I probably spoke it early. Everybody here got some level of passion. The question is, don't let your sexual passion overtake your spiritual passions. Everybody got some dog in you. You got some kind of dog in you. When I was in seminary, the teacher said to the students, everybody got a dog. Some of y'all got German Shepherd. Some of y'all got poodle. But everybody got a dog. And everybody got to learn how to get your dog in check. Get your dog on the leash in the doghouse. I know y'all not liking this, but it's okay. I didn't come for y'all to like this or approve of me. But I'm trying to drive something home to you all that this sex thing is out of control. And God is calling to reel it back in. Somebody say, reel it back in. And the reality is the brothers are bad, but some of the sisters are worse than the brothers. Hold up. It's the male chorus back here. How y'all know how wild the ladies are? There's all kind of answers up there. Somebody say, I saw it on TV. Somebody say, help us, Pastor, help us. What he really means is, help me, Pastor, help me. Stop on your feet. Calm down, brothers. Calm down. Amen. We gotta get this thing under control. Why? We gotta get it under control. Because the Bible is very clear about this, and I'm challenging you today to ask you who's calling the shots. Now you gotta learn how to control your flesh. Let me close with this. Here's my third and final point. So number one, control your equipment. Don't let your flesh call the shots. And then I want to tell you, don't cross the line. Verse 3, point 3, don't cross the line. Say, don't cross the line. Verse 6 and 7 says that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. That's powerful. Here's what he says, that we're not to take advantage. If you have the King James... Let me just read it through. That no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this manner, because the Lord is the avenger of all such. Let me back up and deal with that for just a moment. He says, do not take advantage of and defraud. And the word defraud, listen carefully, means to arouse sexual desires in a person that cannot be righteously satisfied. You're arousing the desires in another person, and that desire cannot be satisfied righteously. That's what the word defraud means. And God is saying that you better be careful of how you may be arousing desires in somebody And those desires can't be righteously satisfied. How do you do that, Pastor? You do it by a lot of ways. You do it by the words, the conversations. Y'all might as well be honest. Some of y'all's telephone conversations, text messages, emails leave a lot to be desired. Your words, your pictures, the images, your attire, your dress. Lean over to your neighbor and say, Grandma, take the leggings off. Did y'all do that? Go ahead. Lean over and say, Grandma. Take the leggings off. Now, just to show y'all how up to date I am, I said spandex in the earlier service, but somebody came to me after and said, Pastor, it's not spandex no more, it's leggings. Obviously, y'all know what they are, I don't. Be careful of the kind of music that you listen to. Music will arouse your sexual passions. And the scripture is clear. It says right here in verse 6 that God is the avenger of those who do these things. That word avenge means God will punish you. Now, for a long time, I've always said to people, God doesn't punish us for what we do. And I do believe that God is a God of mercy who gives us another chance. He gives us space to repent and turn it around and change. He does. But some of what some people are going through in life is God punishing you for the choices and the behaviors that you've made. Amen. God will punish you. God will discipline you when he loves you and he cares about you and he wants you to make the right choices. He will punish you. And some of you today should have been punished a long time ago by God, but you ought to thank God he didn't give you what you deserved. He kept giving you another chance. You know, nobody in here perfect. Like I already said, 99% of y'all in here got sexual passions and drives and interests and emails and pornography and relationships that are outside of the boundaries of what God's will is. And some of you have overcome those things. You've gotten victory in him and you straighten out your life. Praise the Lord. I'm here to declare and preach to everybody in this room. I don't care where you are, how deep you are, how frequently you've been involved in it. I don't care who it's been with. I don't care how much money you spent, what the tale of it is. I'm here to give you great news. There is power in the blood of Jesus to free you from the stronghold of sexual immorality. Free you from pornography, free you from wrong relationships, free you from masturbation, free you, whatever your sin or proclivity is, there is power in the name and the blood of Jesus to free you from your bondage and help you walk a pure life. Can I get help from anybody in here who knows what I'm talking about? He can help you live holy. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But I thank God that God spared our lives long enough to bring us to a place that our slate can be wiped clean and we can be freed by the power and the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm here to tell you that that's good news. Somebody say, that's good news. And so I pray today that before it's everlasting too late, you will come to grips that you need forgiveness from God. And realize he's made provisions for you to be forgiven for whatever you've done in your past. Amen. Thank you for that rousing patty cake. Let's stand on our feet and give the Lord a shout who's worthy of praise. And let's thank him for the clarity of his word. Father, I want to pray today that I know there are people in here who need your power and might. They need forgiveness of sins. They need a breakthrough in their life. Maybe not in a sexual arena, but some other arena. They need your life, your power. They need you to forgive them of their past. They need you to move them forward. I ask you, God, in the name of the Lord Jesus, for you to draw such persons today, unsaved, Draw the backslidden person who drifted out of fellowship and needs to rededicate themselves afresh to you. Draw them. Somebody's here today who's not sure. Somebody who needs to be under a covering of a church where they can receive the unadulterated, uncompromised word of God. I want to pray today that you draw all of those persons to you right now. Break the stronghold of the enemy and the lies of the devil and draw them to your kingdom in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise his name.